Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Advent is from Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until that time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. Epistles from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that, we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.' Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I opted for the slightly longer gospel reading today because I was somewhat shocked in preparation. Nowhere else in our standard Sunday lectionary do we read that biblical text of what is called the Magnificat. Mary's. That seemed like a shocking omission, especially when that song is the end of a narrative arc. The promise of God has been given to Mary by the angel Gabriel. Her trip to see Elizabeth provides evidence of that promise's fulfillment. And when God delivers on his promises, it ends in praise. Mary's story here is interwoven with Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John the Baptist. Zechariah is given the promise of God, one which, unlike Mary, he doesn't believe. So the angel strikes Zechariah dumb. But God keeps his promises. And Elizabeth is well along with her pregnancy, evidence of a fulfillment. And when that evidence jumps in her womb, even though the priest Zechariah is silent, Elizabeth provides the praise. Promise, fulfillment, praise. It's a pattern of the Christian life, woven together in the life of the entire church. The promise of baptism. God has claimed you as His. The fulfillment seen in the life of faith. And even through grief in death, praise given for the life and the promise of the resurrection. We have received that great promise. We have its first fulfillment in Christ, which sustains our prayers. But we look forward, especially in a season like Advent, for its greater fulfillment. And the praise on that last day, when the entire church with all of the heavenly choirs joins together. Promise, fulfillment, and praise. We're never lacking any. For if we keep silent, the very stones will cry out. There are two promises given in the Spirit by Elizabeth. The first is given specifically to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? It's a singular blessing, because there's only one incarnation. The Lord would come like this once. There's only one Mother of God. But there is often a paradox of blessedness. Mary would receive that child. The God-man would be entrusted to her care. But then she would also have to let him go. The sword would pierce her heart. A heart that would treasure up all of these things. To Mary is given this greatest joy, which contains within it the task of the cross. The blessings of God are not like the blessings of fortune. That wheel goes round and round, and we can enjoy our time riding high. We dislike our time and fortune's depths. But fortune's just that. It's luck. We shouldn't confuse fortune with blessing. Fortune expects nothing, and what it gives is ultimately nothing. Easy come, easy go. Dust to dust. But blessing. Blessing is eternal. Blessing comes to us with a task to live out of it, to hold on to its promise, to look for its fulfillment, to praise the one who blesses. Mary is uniquely blessed among women, and what she held was the Lord. But Elizabeth pronounces a second blessing. I'm going to point you to verse 45. This is where a switch that you can see in English, blessed is she. It moves from the unique, Mary or you, to the universal she. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now, that could be Elizabeth herself, although her husband didn't believe it. I suppose she could still be talking about Mary, but Mary has already been blessed. No. This is a blessing to those who are over here. This is a blessing for us today. Blessed are we when we believe that there will be a fulfillment of the words that Mary is about to sing in praise. Elizabeth's praise has become our promise. Mary's praise becomes our promise. Promise that we Christians live out of. And so the first half of Mary's song is the promise of what we have already seen fulfillments of, and for which we rightly owe praise. God took this humble peasant girl and elevated her to Mother of God. All generations, not just Elizabeth, have called her blessed. And her son has brought the mercy of God on all who fear him from generation to generation. We have the fulfillment of those promises already. In our baptisms, we have received the washing away of all of our sins. Blessed are you who believe this. God has looked on the lowly and raised us up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are you who believe this. The Son of Mary has given us himself in this sacrament. We have God on our lips. Blessed are you who believe this, who believe this, and who fear it. What does it mean to fear God, as Mary says? It means two things. The first is faith, that we trust his word. The second is that we accept him as our Lord. He has called us to a blessed mercy. And he's called us to this because he has a task for us. We're to live our lives not by fortune, but out of his blessing, out of his promise. What does such a call look like? It's that second part of Mary's song. God is going to accomplish all of these things that Mary speaks about. When the kingdom comes in its fullness, all of these will be completely true. But we are called today to try and make them true amongst us. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. The Christian life is the death of all of our pride. Our Lord did not despise the shame of that cross. He also calls us to pick up our crosses and to follow. What the words of Christ enable us to do is to see ourselves rightly. We can see how poor we are. Even if we were kings, the word and the work of Christ shows us the end of all that pomp and fortune. We are called by these words of Mary to a moral revolution in our lives. We're no longer justifying ourselves in what we do because we know that's impossible. We turn instead to Mary's Son, who justifies us by his grace. We turn from our pride that our hearts so want to sustain and accept humility right next to that humility of Mary. We are all the Lord's humble servants. He has brought down the mighty and exalted the humble. The Christian life is a call not just to put to death our pride, but to see our neighbors as our equals. God became man. You can no longer talk about the common man. C.S. Lewis put it this way in The Weight of Glory: there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as that of a gnat. But it is immortals that we joke with, work with, marry, snub, exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. This does not mean that we are perpetually solemn. We must play. But our merriment must be of the kind which exists between people who have, from the outset, taken each other seriously. No flippancy, no superiority, no presumption. The Christian life is a social revolution. The Gentiles lord it over one another, but it will not be so amongst you. The greatest is the servant of all. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. When the world is full of the pride of life, and it's hungering after status and acclaim, the first thing that gets missed is Lazarus at the gate. The Christian life our Lord calls us to is not an acquisitive one. We're not on the hunt for good fortune, but one where we are our brother's keeper. If we feared God, we would be more afraid of having too much while our neighbor we pass by has too little than being afraid of missing opportunity knocking. Mary's words are words of promise. This is the kingdom that God is bringing about. The strength of his arm will accomplish it. He remembers his promises to Abraham and his offspring forever. We occasionally see lesser fulfillments of it in our midst. The story of Scrooge is beloved because it's true. We know people who wake up fearing God. Or like the Grinch, whose heart grew 3 sizes that day because a song of praise didn't stop when they had nothing. And when we lean into the promise and we're living out of it, that's when we most feel this blessedness. And we're called to join with Mary in her praise. We've heard the promises that are for us. Blessed are you who believe in Mary's Son. We've seen the fulfillments in word and sacrament and lives changed. And we're called then to praise. And may our praise be the next person's hearing of the promise. Amen.